Hi, good afternoon.
Hola, how are
Hi.
you?
I'm fine, and you?
Fine, enjoying spring now in Germany, finally.
At last. Although I think the UK seems to have forgotten its spring today. It has been much better the last few weeks, but
And you're
generally.
in Italy now, or where are you?
Yes, I'm in Milano. Generally, we have a really a good time during the spring in Italy, but today probably is coming to rain because we have a really a bad weather. So maybe
Oh.
we can have some noise also from the background.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, thank you for being with us, simply. And if you don't have any points, let's just dive right into it. I think it would be best if we got to know a little bit about your background. Yeah, where you're from, obviously Italy, but yeah, what your career path was, why you ended up in transplant for this particular indication, and yeah, just a general wrap up of your career for now.
So first of all, I'm really delighted to be with you today. So thanks for this invitation, Nico and Claire, and also to your team. And from my background, I am a hematologist. So I'm not a disease specialist in rheumatic disease or gastro disease or any neurological indication. So I started, like many of you, within the BMT or in the hematology field. And gradually, while approaching also the immune-mediated complication of allogeneic stem cell transplantation procedure, because during my training, I worked also on biomarkers, on some interaction with immune reconstitution pathways, and also GVHD. So my real focus was on allotransplant and the immunomediated complication, and also the correlation with the immune reconstitution in transplantation in general. I also had some experience in my BMT unit of some patient without immune disease who have been admitted to receive a transplantation. During my training period, this indication, it's something like more experimental investigational rather than a standard indication like you have nowadays, for example, in multiple sclerosis or scleroderma. So we started really from an investigational procedure, and it was really emotional and also exciting for me to see, for example, my first patient, a young male, because generally they are really young patients who are receiving this kind of transplant, that was admitted mainly restricted to wheelchair because he had a really severe neuromyelitis optica, and also restricted to bed also in a later phase of the disease, unfortunately, who was initially treated with an autologous stem cell transplantation, which generally works very well, for example, in MS. But for NMO, this is not really a strong indication with the autologous procedure. So he really had a very severe course of the disease, and we decided to finally give to him a match-related donor allotransplant. So this is my first experience, and it was really exciting now to have him at more than 10 years from the transplant procedure, who is really able to have a normal life. He's able to work, to travel for work, and really it's exciting. He also now a family because he had the cryopreservation as many of these patients before the transplant procedure, and it's really exciting for us to have him now that he's able to carry a normal daily life. So really it was exciting for me and also for my team. And this is the main driver, the main idea to also study this field of transplantation. And I decided to start working more in depth on this transplant indication during my career. And I started from this first patient, and then I go on also with the other trials and also approaching the BNT. And like also you with the training committee now, in the past we haven't this kind of a committee, but we are able to approach DBNT and the community, and we are able also to join many studies and also the knowledge all over the world. And it was really exciting for me also to join other EBNT and trial at the European level, and to know that also in other center we have the same exciting results in the field of autoimmune disorder by transplantation. And this is the starting point. And now we have many standard indication and also new field, for example, in cellular therapies for the autoimmune disease that is coming to our daily life. So I think it's really a new era for us that we are approaching in this field as a hematologist also.
Sorry, Claire.
And with autoimmune diseases being like such, obviously they're all similar but incredibly different in how in the different organs and things they affect. So you're starting the transplant process off obviously often with patients who have a lot of pre-existing inflammation. Do you get particular problems with things like engraftment syndrome, like graft versus host disease more so? Or
the first point for you that is important to take into account when you are approaching a patient with this kind of disease is that you as a hematologist has to have a strong connection also with the multidisciplinary team. So also with your rheumatic disease specialist, with your neurologist, with your gastroenterologist, because really you have to follow up your patient and also to candidate the patient to the transplant procedure by a careful balance between the disease that is a non-malignant indication, obviously, and also the other possibility the patient has in terms of a disease-modifying treatment, for example, so the non-transplant procedure. So it is important to be in a deep connection with the disease specialist in this kind of indication. And for the other non-malignant indication, it is obviously important to reduce the transplant-related mortality and also the toxicity related to the procedure. This is the reason why in many of these diseases, we are really happy that autologous stem cell transplantation as procedure works very well because it is well known that the allo procedure is covered by different risks. So generally, we prefer to go to autologous procedure if the disease is able to give a good response, like in multiple sclerosis or scleroderma. And it is important to try to identify also the right conditioning in this patient, because you have to not destroy leukemia or cancer cell, but you have to reset the immune system. So it is important to have a conditioning regimen that can reduce the toxicity, but can have the immune resetting of the immune system at the same time. So this is really a key point in this kind of indication. It is also important to mention that there are some cases that is rare in which you have to perform an allogenic procedure, like the one I mentioned before in my experience. So very severe and refractory type of indication. And generally, we have also seen in DBNT registry with a dedicated study that for some autoimmune cytopenia and also for severe cases of autoimmune disorder, not hematological, it is important to have a patient who is really in a severe and refractory phase, but at the same time, not a long-term disease for the autoimmune disorders, because you have also some toxicity to the organ that you have to consider and generally can have an increased toxicity with the allo procedure. So it's really a balance with your disease specialist to make the good choice in the good time for your patient when you are approaching this kind of patient.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we could focus for the first part on maybe one disease, because it was your first experience, and also mine was multiple sclerosis. And I like your approach, and I would challenge everyone, because everyone, every trainee out there, because you said malignant disease, and I would really hear impressions from other trainees, because multiple sclerosis for me, when I saw the patient who came to us in the clinic, was the catastrophic disease. So these patients are really, really disabled. They are really suffering. The quality of life of these mostly young women are is disastrous. And we had two cases now with autologous transplant. It was a success story. I've never seen that in a hematologic patients, to be honest. And would you take us through how the experience was made, how the history of transplant in multiple sclerosis came, and what the typical course of this patient with autologous transplant is?
Yes, it's a really a good point, Nico. Thanks for this question and raising this point, because when we are approaching the transplant indication in autoimmune disease, we have to consider at one side that these indications are not a cancer really, but at the same time that the disability can be high and the disease can be chronic, and the severity of a chronic disease that is disabling in a young patient that cannot be cured but only controlled with the disease modifying treatment can be really a sort of a new concept of malignancy. It's not the correct term that we have to use, but for the young patient, the disability that is inside this kind of disease, it's really difficult to manage also in the daily life. So the transplant indication generally gives new hope to this patient and to the family. At the same time, if we are approaching the transplant in this context, it is good because we have also at the same time other kind of treatment that is not curative but can give a control to reduce the toxicity of our conditioning regimen. And this is also good for the disease specialist who works with you in the indication to the transplant, to convince him to give the transplant as option to your patient. Because if you reduce the transplant-related mortality to around 0%, like we have nowadays in multiple sclerosis with autologous stem cell transplant procedure, you can really cure a chronic disorder and give to these people a new life. So it's really important. Another important point in this kind of disease like multiple sclerosis, it's the choice of the right timing of your patient to perform the transplant, as we have briefly mentioned just before. Because for example, in MS, you have some patient with a long-term disease who has also a chronic phase but without inflammation. And generally the transplant works very well when you have inflammation, so in the early phases or in the active phases of the disease. So the standard indication for transplant in multiple sclerosis nowadays is the relapse and remitting MS with the inflammatory phase of the disease, so an active disease. Because generally, if you have a chronic phase of the disease and, for example, the progressive form, the response is not so good as you can have in the relapse and remitting form. So this is really key in the choice of your patient. So the selection of the patient to perform transplant procedure is really essential to have also the best benefit and also to have a reduced toxicity. So it's really a good balance, and the good choice of the good patient, it's really important in this phase. When we started, for example, in the first experience, as for many treatment, transplantation started in MS for patients with advanced phase of the disease. So generally, chronic phase was predominant in the early trials, and the response are bad as compared to the relapse and remitting. So when we moved to the relapse and remitting phase and to the active phase of MS, we have seen that the response rate are really exciting and high, and we can cure the disease instead of control a chronic phase with toxicity.
Can you walk us through how this transplant works with multiple sclerosis when a patient comes? So do you keep the drug, whatever they are taking, do you keep it until you start conditioning, and what kind of conditioning and follow-up, etc.? Can you walk us through this a little bit?
We have adapted through the years together with the neurologist in MS, for example, a sort of washout period for the disease-modifying treatment before the transplant procedure. This is essential also for us as hematologists to try to reduce at the best that we can the toxicity in terms of infection, for example, because as you know, alemtuzumab, that is a drug that is generally used nowadays for MS patient in the treatment as an infectious risk related potentially in the first month. So generally we recommend a washout period of at least 6 months if you can. It depends more also on the type of your disease and how the patient is developing disability. So it's generally good to have a sort of a washout period. We have also had some discussion more recently with the neurological community together with the BNT in a meeting with the ECTRIMS, that is the Society for the MS. And during this meeting, we are trying to develop with the neurological community together with the BNT a sort of a recommendation for this washout period and also for the transplant procedure and for the patient selection. So maybe for the future, we can have more information regarding this kind of information for the future in a sort of guidelines or recommendation with strong level of indication. For the patient, when you are performing the indication for the transplantation, it is essential to make a sort of pre-transplant assessment for the comorbidity. So generally, like you are doing also for the allo procedure, so maybe more similar to the allo procedure than to the auto procedure, you have to carefully address the other comorbidities at cardiac level, at pulmonary level, and so on, to have a clear overview of your patient before the transplant procedure in terms of feasibility. So if you have a patient that is in good condition and you are safe to do the procedure with a reduction of the risk, you can start by give to your patient together with your disease specialist information also regarding the procedure. And you have to mention, and it is strongly recommend to mention the possibility to make some fertility cryopreservation before the procedure, because you are approaching a young patient generally in this kind of indication. So when you are moving to the first phase, that it is the mobilization, generally it's similar to what you are doing for an autologous stem cell collection for the myeloma patient, for example, or lymphoma patient. So you are going to do to your patient cyclophosphamide, and you can associate the GCSF. The administration of cyclo during the mobilization for MS patient is strongly recommend to avoid the flare of the disease that generally can occur when you stimulate with the GCSF alone your patient. Generally, the collection is good with this kind of a module that you can use, and within 1 month, generally, you can go to the transplant procedure. Regarding the conditioning, the key points in the conditioning of this kind of indication is the choice of the right conditioning regimen. Generally, it is key the role of ATG, because as we have mentioned previously, we aim to have a resetting of the immune system. So differently to what you are experiencing with the hematological indication in terms of a malignant indication, for example, you have to add ATG to BIM if you are using an intermediate conditioning, or a cyclophosphamide if you are using a reduced toxicity or a low intensity regimen for your patient. Actually, we don't have really, for example, in MS, a substantial priority for one or the other conditioning regimen. So both can be used according to the EBNT guidelines. And generally you can make your right choice also depending on the activity and inflammation of the disease in terms of the intensity of the conditioning, and at the same time, also the frailty of your patient. So the comorbidity that you can have also in terms, for example, of infection. So you can make your right choice also considering your overview of the patient before starting together with your disease specialist to take into account comorbidities for you and for your disease specialist, the underlying disease, and make the good choice. During the phase of the transplant, we don't have a really different risk. So generally the infection and the mucositis can be the most common. And it is important to mention that in some cases, but it's not so, so usual, you can have also some flare of the disease during the phase of engraftment. But if you use ATG, also with ATG, you are using a sort of premedication with steroid during the administration of ATG. So generally, you can avoid this kind of problem during the transplant phase if you are using really a good and tailored approach to your conditioning regimen for your patient. And after the engraftment is not a major issue because generally all the patients can reach these without any additional issue. It is important to follow up your patient, not only by the dermatological point of view, but also with your disease specialist. So generally many centers with large volume of autoimmune disease undergoing transplantation try to make a sort of a combined and joint visit between disease specialist and also the hematologist to make a sort of overview of your patient in different time points and to better assess all the issue disease related and also transplant related during the follow-up. So it is important to follow up this patient carefully. And sometime, for example, during the studies, we are also able to perform some really interesting study for the immune reconstitution after the transplant. And in this patient, you are able to see the immune resetting that we have mentioned that generally is strictly related to the benefits and to the good result of your procedure. And it will be exciting for you to see your patient that gradually will improve and will start to walk. And then maybe after the first 1-2 years, so we'll start to have is a normal life. And this will be really good for you, for the patient, and also for the families they have. And another important aspect that we have seen also with many groups within the BNT is also the importance to have the rehabilitation pathway included after the transplant. So if you are also following your patient with the neurologist, you can also try to set up also a sort of rehabilitation early after the transplant, after the engraftment phase. So to improve also the results of the procedure in terms of disability, really from the starting point for your patient. This can be helpful.
And are these, in your experience, are most of the patients with multiple sclerosis getting any maintenance treatment, or do you start other treatments that patients received before transplant, or are most of the patients completely drug free if the course is good?
Around 70% of the patients can be drug free. At long-term follow-up, this is really a turning point in the curative option of MS patient. And I think this is really the main driver of this kind of transplantation for this patient. It's really exciting for not only for us, but also for the neurologist.
And we've talked about multiple sclerosis, just thinking of like a very different autoimmune condition, something like scleroderma. How would that process you've described, just how would it differ for a condition like that?
When we are talking about scleroderma patient, first of all, we are talking about a disease that currently has no kind of a curative option, really, as a counterpart as compared to other indications. So really in this indication, the transplant is key. The main difference for this patient is the frailty, because related to the scleroderma, you can have in many cases also cardiac or pulmonary involvement. So it is strongly recommended for this kind of patient to strictly follow up also before the transplant procedure with a disease specialist to carefully check also for the cardiac and pulmonary comorbidities. This is important because generally for this kind of indication, you can perform a conditioning regimen based on cyclo and ATG, like for other autoimmune disorder, but there is a recent experience based in US provided by Richard Burt and colleagues, who, for example, try to use a low toxicity conditioning based on cyclo and ATG. So you can make a tailored approach to your conditioning regimen based on your pre-transplant assessment for this kind of patient. For the other autoimmune disorder and also for scleroderma, it is important to follow up the patient by hematologist and also by the disease specialist, because in this kind of indication, the transplant-related mortality can be higher as compared to other autoimmune disorder if you are not able to properly follow up your patient and make the good choice in terms of conditioning regimen, for example. So it's really a key point to have a strong and really a clear follow-up with your disease specialist in each phases, also during the transplant phases.
And what kind of response do you see? Does it really differ between manifestations of scleroderma? So if it's mainly skin, so do you see a complete recovery, or is this just parts of the skin that are recovering, or what kind of response are we talking about?
With the skin, the response are really exciting. So it's really the first sign you can see for your patient. But also you can see improvement in the other organ that you can have as involvement, taking into account that you have a patient that is able to perform the transplant in the good phase of the disease. So also, for example, regarding the lung function and the cardiac function, if this is related to the disease, you can have also the improvement with the transplant procedure, because as you know, we are talking about the fibrosis in this kind of disease. So there is the ability also to manipulate this kind of fibrosis through the effect of the immune reconstitution after the transplant procedure. For this reason, for example, there are some studies ongoing all over the world trying also to identify if it is best to go the transplant phase earlier. So maybe when you are not so huge impact on other organ like cardiac and lung, but with a mainly skin disease, but some signs that the disease is also giving some effect on cardiac, for example, and lung organ. So maybe this is also an issue that we will better address in the future with this kind of information. But our thinking is that maybe for the future, this kind of treatment can be enlarged and also given to patients with a good status of the organ, but the severity of the disease at the same time. So it's really key, the right choice of the timing, once again, in this kind of patient.
And what other indications are for what kind of other autoimmune diseases do you have experience in the transplant setting?
So these two we have mentioned, MS and scleroderma, are the standard indication for autologous procedure now according to the BNT guidelines. But we have some other clinical options with good results. Probably for the next future will be additional, more stronger indication. For example, we have good experience with neuromyelitis optica. Although the BNT study with autologous stem cell transplantation give some controversial results showing, for example, a good activity on the disease in the early phase, but a recapitulation of the disease in the long-term follow-up. There is another study conducted in earlier phases of the disease for NMO patient in the US that really gives better results also in terms of disease control by adding rituximab, for example, in the conditioning regimen. So this is different from MS, in which we are not using currently rituximab in the conditioning, because NMO is an antibody-mediated disease. So probably it's key for this kind of patient to think about of a different and tailored conditioning regimen for this kind of indication. And the other key point in this study, differently from the BNT study, is the earlier phase of the disease for NMO patients. So probably for autologous stem cell transplantation in the future, in this kind of indication, we will have some different results. Currently, it's a clinical option. In other cases, like the one I've mentioned in my center for NMO patient in the most severe and refractory forms, there is experience not only in my center, but also in the pediatric setting in another center for allogenic stem cell transplant procedure. In this case, you have obviously to reduce the toxicity. So think about of a longer administration of immunosuppression, for example, that is given during the first year after the transplant in this kind of indication, because you are not talking about a malignancy. And at the same time for the pediatric, we have an experience on NMO with the alpha beta depletion, for example. So other strategies aiming to reduce the risk of graft versus host disease that you have to avoid in this kind of setting. And so probably for the future, we will have different indication also for this kind of disease. Another indication for the neurological disease, an example is the CIDP. And also there is a US study showing good results in terms of disease control, also in a good follow-up for the patients. So the remission of the disease was achieved in the majority of the cases, and this can be another indication that nowadays it's a clinical option, but maybe with some randomized studies in the future with larger data, we can have as a treatment option for this kind of patient. Mm-hmm. For other indication, for example, in the rheumatological indication, rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, for example, we have a lot of disease-modifying treatment available nowadays with good results in this field. So currently, although the cases treated with autologous stem cell transplantation that was reported to the registry can be good in terms of results, this is not a common choice in the course of the disease by the disease specialist. And the most severe and refractory cases, for example, of lupus with nephritis, it's an investigational area nowadays for new therapies, like, for example, the CAR T cells. So we have space maybe for different kind of cellular treatments, not mainly hematopoietic stem cell transplantation, but B-cell depletion through the CAR T-cells, for example. And the other indication is the Crohn indication was mainly done in the very severe and refractory cases. And what is good in this experience, for example, conducted within the BNT, it's really to see this patient with a sort of response, and also that is able to have another time the possibility to be cured with the drugs to which they have been refractory in the past. And it's not so obvious when you are talking really to the most severe cases. So maybe it's not the main indication in the field of autoimmune disorder, but it is important to mention because it's really a good option for a carefully selected patient with your gastroenterologist, for example. So it's an option for some patient.
You mentioned briefly there cellular therapies in autoimmune disorders. What's the current status of cellular therapies? Are they being routinely used, or is it all trials at the moment?
It's an investigational field nowadays. We have seen more recently in the New England Journal of Medicine, the experience performed in Germany in lupus patients with nephritis. And we have seen that there is a prolonged B-cell depletion during the follow-up of the patient and the disappearance of the pathogenic autoantibodies. This is related also to the possibility to have a remission of the disease. And it's really good for really refractory cases. What is different from my point of view from, for example, a B-cell depletion through the disease-modifying treatment available in lupus nowadays is that with cellular therapies like CAR T-cells, your depletion is really profound and can give also the depletion at the organ levels. So this is really maybe the key point. I'm really interested also to look in the future at the follow-up of these patients. So when after the initial B-cell depletion, you will see the B-cell that will come again, what will be the disease of the status of the patient. But really we have a good feeling that from the first results that we have seen also in some meeting from the group, that this can be an option for this patient. And it's an investigational area through many trials nowadays all over the world. So I think that in the future we will have additional trial trying to cover these unmet clinical needs. So it is really important to take into account this for the future. Another field, for example, that can be explored, but nowadays it's mainly related at mouse model, it's the field of CAR T-regs. So to further expand the possibility to use CAR T to manipulate not only the cytotoxic aspect of T cells, but also the regulatory pathway that is important for autoimmune disorders. So it's really a new and evolving area that we will see together in the next years. And I hope with exciting results also, as we have initially seen.
I have a two-part question. First, what do you think is the role of bispecific antibodies? Because we saw that for instance, uveitis, inflammation in the eye, that there was recently approval for an bispecific antibody. So what do you think? Is that also an option?
We have discussed a lot on this kind of treatment option, also with the disease specialist within the autoimmune disease working party, because as you know, we are a group not only of hematologists, but also of disease specialists. So it's really exciting to exchange opinion. And according also to the disease specialist, the use of drugs with, for example, the monoclonal antibodies in this field is able to give a control. But what is really missing in some cases who are really refractory and severe, it's the curative option. And they're thinking about the possibility to investigate with us this kind of new treatment. Also because what is a first preliminary experience, the first results also from the mouse models, but also in the first cases in human, is that in this kind of indication, the toxicity, for example, of a CAR T cell product can be maybe different as compared to a cancer indication, because the disease burden is lower. So maybe also the toxicity to manage can be different. So if you have the possibility to have a more strong depletion and trying to have a sort of a complete eradication of the pathogenic autoantibodies and pathway on B cells, rather than trying to control, maybe this can be a good option for your patient. But we will see. I don't have a clear answer to that at this moment, because we don't have clear data.
That's important you mentioned that. And the other thing that I would like to ask, because you always mentioned that this really interdisciplinary field, and in your working party, there are not only hematologists, but also disease specialists. So from a training perspective, what do you think? So your way into this field came from hematology, but it seems like there are many ways to that field from all the sides. So do you imagine like a subspecialty within hematology, or is it better, for instance, for a neurologist to just learn from hematologists about the whole procedure, what an autologous stem cell transplant is, and keep it like interdisciplinary, or because I think the competitiveness will be there with CAR T cells. Everyone wants to do that then, right? And everyone wants to apply their own antibodies. So what do you think, where is it heading, and how should we address the training in that scenario?
I think that also taking the advantage of our experience as autoimmune disease working party, it is important to have a multidisciplinary team, because the experience that you can have as a hematologist is completely different to the experience of a disease specialist. It is good for you and also for them to be in connection. So you cannot do and they cannot do without you and you without them. But it is essential to work together, because the competence and experience, it's really important for this kind of indication. What we have seen, for example, through the year of the registry for this indication, at least for hematopoietic stem cell transplantation, but I can imagine that the same we will have for the CAR T cells in the future, is that also the performance of the transplant, so the risk, the toxicity, and the transplant-related mortality is strictly connected to the center experience, also for the hematologist. So it's important to have an hematologist who has experience in that kind of patient, and at the same time, it is important for the disease specialist to continue to follow up the patient. So the connection is important, but one person is not the same that a multidisciplinary team in that kind of indication. This is my personal opinion.
It's important because I completely agree with you, because we had a few weeks back, we had a like education meeting from the ophthalmologists, another difficult word, about this antibody, and they talked about CRS and ICANS, etc. And you knew from the beginning they have no clue what they are talking about, and because they didn't come to us and ask us. Now it's a really, really friendly relationship, but I think it's really important to highlight that being an hematologist not only includes working on a transplant field, but really knowing inflammation, the bone marrow, and all these kind of synergistic effects. And I think that's why it's important to collaborate as much as we can. Yeah, I completely agree.
Oh, it's also an experience from our point of view as hematologists, but also for them, because, for example, for us, what has been also another field of investigation that can be explored together, so through which the connection within a multidisciplinary team can be really an improvement. It's, for example, in some complication, the autoimmune mediated complication of transplant and cellular therapies. For example, the HLH, it's one of these autoimmunity complications, and having also some people like the rheumatologist who really have a connection with this kind of patient in the daily practice, it's really helpful also from our point of view to take experience and to take advantage and to cooperate in other fields that can be also translated and moved to our indication by hematological malignancy, for example. So it's good for many aspects, and for them also to make the good choice, because, for example, when you are talking with a neurologist who is already involved in the working party and who has a connection with the hematologist, also the thinking of a patient to go to the transplant procedure can be done in the right phase, and the performance of the transplant, the reduction of the toxicity, it's really completely different.
That seems from everything you've been saying that this is a field that's constantly growing and evolving, and learning more about things all the time. What advice would you have for trainees who are interested and want to learn more or want to get involved?
Yes, by our point of view, we are really happy to have many of you in our working party, because as I mentioned, it's really an evolving area, and we really think that this can be a strong area of investigation for the future. And you can also give new life to this kind of indication, because there is really many points that can be addressed together. And I think that with the trainee committee, we can run more differently also in terms of new ideas, new key points, new questions. And it's really important to cooperate. So we are really happy to have you in our team and to join with you in the future in many aspects.
And I think it's important to highlight, to just share the knowledge that it exists, because I know many colleagues, even here in Hamburg, who didn't know about the possibility of transplant for multiple sclerosis, and I talked to them about the patients, and they were completely there, the minds were completely blown away. They were so interested in it. So I think it's another part to just share that it's an active and evolving, constantly evolving field, and that there is a lot to improve also for these patients. And I mean, you said 70% are off drugs for multiple sclerosis, for instance, after transplant. That's huge for these patients. So I think that's also a very important message to just put it out there to as many young colleagues, but also experienced colleagues as possible.
Yes, also if you are going to have more knowledge on that, you can have more experience for your patients. So it is important to have this kind of insight and to be constantly updated because it's really evolving. So it is important to have an update that is really up to date to that moment and to make the good choice in this kind of indication.
Yeah, thank you very much for this really impressive talk through all indications and all treatment options and the current status. Really learned a lot. And thank you for your time to come to us, to talk to us. And maybe just for all who may listen, when is your education meeting?
September 22-23 in London, hopefully, in person.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
We're really happy if you can join.
And we'll share the link, obviously, for everyone to get the latest on transplant and cellular therapy on autoimmune diseases. And,
absolutely. Yeah. And we've also got the Chimera module on transplant for autoimmune diseases coming up, which should be launched in the next few weeks as well.
Thank you very much for all this effort, because really we are happy to cooperate with you and to have you in the team of the Autoimmune Disease Working Party and to join with you.
Yeah, thank you, Rafaela, and have a good day.
Also for you, have a good evening.
And hope to see you in September or earlier.
Hope to see you soon.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.